This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. On the phone now, Nathan Triplett, East Lansing City Council member. Good evening, Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing well, Cheryl.
I know, like all of your days, today was a very busy one for you. A couple of subjects to talk to you about today. I enjoy your observations politically, frankly, and I believe you went down to watch or be a part of the rally at the Capitol.
That's correct. Yeah, the AFL-CIO, along with many of their constituent unions, organized a rally and a lobby day today around a number of issues, but especially the pending legislation that would alter significantly Michigan's emergency financial manager law. So they were there to make their voices heard, and I was there this morning to support them.
And what was your observations just to the crowd? There was a small number of Tea Party members there as well, who were supporting, you know, allegedly supporting the budget cuts. But all in all, how did you feel that the day went?
I think it went really well, and obviously, you know, it's always a challenge dealing with the media representation of events like this, because in today's political culture, there is a real push to be objective by presenting both sides of every argument, no matter how outsized one or the other is. And today's a great example. There were about 800 men and women from labor unions across the state who were participating in the lobby day, and about 20 counter-protesters from the Tea Party movement who were present at the Capitol. But things were obviously peaceful, and people got to make their voices heard, and that's what the process is all about. So I think it was a great success.
Well, and we did have a guest on earlier who said that he didn't think that a lot of folks got to talk to the legislators. Do you feel that there were a number of folks who were able to have discussions with them, or at least make their opinions known?
I think from the folks that I've talked to who participated in the lobby day, there were a lot of individuals who got to have one-on-one meetings with legislators or staff. I know there were several people who were frustrated that they tried to attend a House committee hearing on the prevailing wage who were not allowed to testify. The committee chair chose to allow two other organizations on the opposite side of the issue to voice their opinion, but not the folks from the building trade. So, as with all of these things, there was some frustration, but I think it sent a powerful message having 800 people take time out of their day to come and make their voices heard at the Capitol. It was a hard scene to miss, even if you didn't have a one-on-one conversation.
Well, and they were, of course, largely union members, and I only say of course because that's what we're talking about, union members and supporters who were there. As I asked some previous guests this evening, do you think the recent events in Wisconsin that are now seem to be spreading into other states was a big effect on this? Do you think people are not jumping on the bandwagon, but realizing or believing that this is an effective tool to get their voices heard?
Well, I think the situation that's unfolding in Madison has certainly made people more attuned to these issues, but what those folks at the Capitol were there to talk about today were all uniquely Michigan issues that working families in Michigan are facing. And, you know, there was an interesting statement by Governor Snyder today about how he wanted to avoid a Wisconsin-type situation here in Michigan, and I have no reason to doubt him. I take the governor at his word, but he might want to check in with some of his legislative colleagues who seem intent on pursuing the same type of issues that started the discord in Madison several days ago.
And specifically, what are some of these issues that union members and supporters are feeling, in the words of Mr. Gaffney, attacked on or assaulted?
Well, I think there's a general perception amongst some in the legislature who seem intent on painting public employee workers especially as the problem that faces the state of Michigan, and that's simply not true. So I think that's sort of the overarching umbrella of the situation. But some specific examples, again, there was a hearing held today on the possibility of repealing Michigan's prevailing wage laws. That clearly makes people feel under attack. The bulk of those who were present were talking about emergency financial manager legislation that would give the manager the ability to suspend collective bargaining in a community or school district that was subject to their control for up to 5 years, as well as revoking existing labor contracts. There's the ever-present threat of trying to make Michigan into a right-to-work state. So the list of issues that have been brought up is long. And I hope that, again, I take Governor Snyder at his word, that he will try and work with his colleagues to focus on the real issues facing Michigan and not turning it into issue du jour of beating up on organized labor.
Are there some changes that could be made with organized labor?
Absolutely. I mean, I would hold East Lansing up as an example. Obviously, that's my background in local government, and we've been able to weather this financial storm more than most because we've built a cooperative relationship between management and our bargaining units, and that's required everyone to give up something. But because we've engaged in an adult-to-adult conversation where we respect one another and we respect our positions, we're able to come to a compromise rather than vilifying the opposite party. So for that reason, we've been able to hold our health care costs to 3.5% a year, which is a third of the rate of national health care inflation. So I think you accomplish a lot more treating people as adults and engaging in a conversation that looks for a mutual resolution of issues rather than vilifying your opposition.
Well, it sounds like so far Governor Rick Snyder has said he wants to sit down with union folks. And I assume you're going to take him at his word at that as well.
Absolutely. And I certainly hope the governor does that, and there have been some positive signs in that regard. I think, as with many of these issues, the governor's greatest challenge is not going to come from people who you might think were his traditional opposition on the opposite side of the partisan spectrum, or from organized labor for that matter. It's going to come with controlling members of his own party who have a very different agenda than the governor's.
Very good. East Lansing City Council, now we'll switch gears. You can put on your other hat for a minute now, Nathan. Just a week ago, voted on an additional 90-day moratorium on medical marijuana in the city of East Lansing for discussion purposes, is my understanding. How does that look to you?
We're moving in the right direction. We began this process with three very different ordinances, with three very different approaches that we were considering. And at the meeting you just referenced, we narrowed it down to one that would authorize dispensaries in East Lansing under a limited set of circumstances. And now we're in the process of figuring out exactly where those dispensaries could be located, what the conditions would be for their operation, and we're getting down into the nitty-gritty details of how this would work in our community. So it's slow going, and this is clearly a complicated issue, but we're definitely making progress.
And it sounds like, as I've spoken with Mayor Victor Loomis in the past on this issue, it sounds like you're working it carefully and slowly to make sure that you get it right.
Absolutely. I mean, this is uncharted territory for not just East Lansing, but for communities across the state. The Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, which authorized the use of medical marijuana in this state by voter initiative, doesn't speak at all to the type of zoning and commercial uses that we're struggling with right now. So I think the mayor is right that we need to take the time to get this right for our community. And I think because there's so little guidance from the state level that you'll see a patchwork of approaches in different cities across the state, but what we're focused on is finding the approach that's right for East Lansing.
Well, and that kind of custom approach, my words, are what you're. It appears to me that you're working so hard to do. There was so much confusion initially with the law; it was kind of put out there. But then how do the details work? And left to local municipalities and cities to try to figure out how those regulations are going to come into play. What is the process for you now? Are there a couple of working meetings coming up?
There are. In fact, this evening we will have a work session. One of the items on the agenda is the discussion of our approach to medical marijuana. We're planning on holding a second work session, which would be in 2 weeks. And then on March 15th, we've scheduled our next regular council meeting where we may potentially take action on a final version of this ordinance, depending on the process we make between now and then. So that's well within the existing 90-day window, but it's my sincere hope that with those two additional work sessions, we'll be able to finalize something for action on March 15th.
And public input is important to you, isn't it? The citizens voted for this, but you're looking to them again to help guide these steps or at least help you with the framework.
Absolutely. I mean, 75% of East Lansing voters approved the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. But when they did that, what they were essentially approving was the principle of patients having access to compassionate care. Now we need those same folks to help the city council determine what's the best approach to implementing that principle on the ground level in our community. And we've had a great deal of community input, and I hope that we'll have even more here in the days and weeks to come as we finalize this process.
And the moratorium that was extended that would have expired February 28th, if I have the dates right. I don't have it in my notes in front of me, but I believe that was the date. It's a 90-day moratorium, but that could be lifted, am I correct, if you are able to get farther in this process?
Yes. Again, I expect, or what I'm hoping for, is a vote on March 15th, and if we do, in fact, take a vote that evening, which will be well within the newly approved moratorium, I expect that we'll also lift the moratorium on that date. So the purpose of the moratorium is not to deny folks access to medical marijuana, which they have even with the moratorium in place. It's just to preserve the status quo in relation to dispensaries and these commercial operations so that we can come up with a rational approach before opening the floodgates to allow these facilities to locate in East Lansing.
Very good. Well, Nathan, as always, I appreciate your willingness to talk, and I appreciate how informed you are on every topic I've ever asked you about. You're something.
Well, thanks a lot, Cheryl. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Very good. Well, good luck at the work session tonight, and we'll speak to you again soon. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Nathan Triplett, East Lansing City Council member. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.